And so when Otapa is mentioned, respect for others, it's because even
I
at
see that.
moments of Satipatthana there is Otapa, so it's actually nothing to do with others at
I
all.
think that when we read Pali word and translate it without the understanding of the characteristic of realities, one interpret it as one own thought. Different
It
language.
doesn't make sense.
And when it's literally translated, it's like that.
Yeah.
But when we understand the characteristic of realities, we can find out what is written, whether it means this or that.
It's also hard to understand. I don't know if it's Hiri or Otapa. They talk about your upbringing. You consider your own family. It's hard to understand how it's not mana involved.
Just for those who can understand it by those words, but the actual characteristic of it is that shame and fear of the ugliness of unwholesomeness.
So whatever story is helpful to condition that.
It depends on the person who reads it to think in one's own way or to understand the realities.
And when one appreciates, actually, there are no people or other or upbringing, these are, so it's just like an example, but it has to just come back to the seeing the harm of unwholesomeness at this moment, doesn't it?
What about when there's the idea, it's so shameful? Hiri and Otapa is there, clear enough to understand the characteristic of Hiri and Otapa when it arrives,
When it's akusala.
And when it's there. Because there can be akusala without thinking about shame and fear. But there can be the moments of really, it's shame.
So they always arise in pairs. They always arise
The
in
19
pairs.
wholesome chetasikas have
Always.
to arise together
They
at
arise
moment
in.
of kusala or sopanacitta.
Oh, okay.
Not even one is missing.
So not only in a pair, but minimum group of 19.
Okay. So metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, they are part of the group of 19, are they?
What are they? The 19, see?
I don't know, that's why I'm asking.
So one is aloba
Aloba.
chetasika, and aloba chetasika includes metta. But karuna is not one of the 19.
I see, okay,
Yeah,
okay.
mudita is not one of the 19.
Okay, I see.
So when there's shamelessness, let's say there is a moment when one doesn't believe that there are consequences of one's actions, and that's wrong view. That sort of brings to a slightly different topic, but the object of wrong view must be a characteristic of a reality, I think I heard. Could I ask you to explain about that a little bit?
Wrong view and wrong thinking.
Well, perhaps how the object of wrong view must be a characteristic of a reality, because sometimes I think there can be thinking about a situation and this shameless behavior is related to the object of it is wrong understanding of a situation, but wrong view must have the object as a characteristic of a reality. I just wasn't clear on that.
There's no you, no me, right? Now, citta and chetasikas arising and falling away. It's the thinking moment. Can the seeing think?
No.
Can the feeling think? Can memory, sanya, chetasika think? So, what thinks? Because citta only experiences object,
Vitaka thing.
vitakka. So, after seeing, consciousness, vitakka arises with almost every citta. And for kama vajra, this plane of existence, the plane of visual object and so on, there must be vitakka cetasika after the seeing, hearing, and smelling. Who knows? It needs vitakka cetasika to condition moment after seeing, to think about that which seeing sees instantly. And so it keeps on arising with each citta, even thinking. It depends on what level of thinking it is. Thinking in word is different from thinking of shape and form right now, right? Mm-hmm. When there is thinking of shape and form, there is no word. But after that, there is thinking about many things, many thoughts, but not wrong view. So sometimes there is wrong view and sometimes there is no wrong view, but there is always thinking.
I heard a talk about how one can go to a meditation center because of wrong thinking, but mixed in with all the wrong thinking there are moments of wrong
all
view.
All wrong eightfold path. The right eightfold path and wrong eightfold path. Is lopa easy to know? Wherever there is lopa, is there panya?
No panya.
Wherever there is panya, is there lopa?
No lopa. Mm-hmm. There must be alopa. Maybe going back briefly to metta meditation, I think the aspect of alopa having to be there makes it so difficult, because I know I did a lot of metta meditation and I think we
Excuse
want to...
Excuse me, how do you do that?
Everybody wants to have pleasant mental states. We don't want to have dosa,
but
so to
you
escape
say that
from
you
dosa.
Have metta meditation, what are you doing?
Well, I used to follow the instructions that are very popular in the Buddhist world now, everywhere. And
What is that?
In detail, the instructions?
Yeah. Suppose you are going to have metta meditation, what would you do?
Well, the traditional popular instructions.
What would you do?
I would start by thinking about somebody that I was I respected.
Oh, I see.
So well.
What about now? Do you have to think
like
that?
Doesn't want any more details.
And I found eventually, what I found is that instead of doing metta meditation, I found that as I understood that everybody shares the same kilesa, the same suffering, that it just conditioned more metta naturally.
So you didn't follow the pattern?
I did for
you
a
did.
While. I did
I
for
see.
A while, yeah.
And what happened?
And I think to... And, well, I'm not sure, Ajahn. I think it helped me in
okay.
a lot of ways.
For how long?
I think a couple of years, I guess.
No, I mean that when you are going to have metta meditation, you meditate for how long?
Well, I know there's a famous story about the wealthy...
1 hour
it would
or two?
The effect after?
No.
Oh, I don't know, 30 minutes or an hour, something
I
like
see.
That.
And after that, is there no dosa?
Well, to be honest, Ajahn, on days that I did metta meditation in the morning, there would be less likely to be a kind of temperamental reaction to situations. And there was a pattern, because I used to keep quite a detailed record of a diary, and there was a pattern, but I don't think the problem with that is that even if one spends one's whole lifetime developing, what you're doing is developing a nice self, a kind and patient self, the next life...
Is that attachment? Or
yeah,
well,
it's all attachment. It's all attachment.
So what's the result?
The result is the next life you're back to where you were.
No.
There would be benefits. There would be benefits in that sense. It seemed for the rest of that day, I don't know why, Ajahn, but...
You mean that you understand difference between metta and attachment?
No, I'm not
See,
claiming
so
that.
So how can you
think that you
have more metta?
I'm thinking about behavior conditions.
Even behavior
yeah.
with attachment or with metta?
Well, at that point it didn't matter to me because I was so interested in behavior. I wasn't didn't have enough understanding to be concerned about the attachment, but now I think I understand it a little better.
You give food to the dog with attachment or with metta?
Attachment.
You know that?
I assume it because there's lopa all the time. So that's my assumption now, but I don't know the characteristic of the lopa or of the attachment.
So at moment of seeing people, there is metta or attachment?
Attachment.
So what's the use of having metta meditation?
In those days, it helped my behavior because I used to have a tendency to lose my temper and shout
because
at people.
Because it's yours, so you develop lopa.
Mm. Oh yeah, I don't doubt that.
But you take that for metta, for having metta.
Absolutely. We want to escape
because
from dosa.
Because when there's attachment, no one can do a harmful thing to the others at all.
Yeah.
When there's metta.
When it's an attachment too.
Yeah, and I think it helps. And I think many people are helped in that way, but in the long run it doesn't help them because they're just developing more lopa and accumulating more lopa and more self. That's right. So in the long run, it doesn't help. But in the short term, I've experienced benefits
but
in terms of behavior.
Can you know the difference at moment of seeing whether there is metta or attachment?
There was no understanding
of
that at all.
But you assume that you have metta.
No. Now I know it was all attachment. But there were changes in behavior that I have to acknowledge.
So you like to have lopa behavior?
Not anymore. Thanks to your talks. Do you have any?
So about metta, because I organized this retreat, I haven't done metta retreat before, right? So I was just curious to see how it works. So I see people changes, right? Like I do see them change in the retreat. But also I believe, I try a little bit myself, but I really believe is understanding dosa that can ultimately to remove the dosa, not to keep cultivating the opposite that can remove or reduce dosa. So actually when dosa arise, just to see, to be aware of it, I think that's the understanding. Understand whatever arise instead of trying to do the opposite or something.
No, but metta is useful.
Is good. The point here is to know whether it is metta or lopa. That's important.
Yes. But also, in my little retreat, I try myself in Mema. Surprisingly, through this meditation, I understand attachment better. Right, so I actually from the retreat I myself see the difference between attachment and true metta.
So you need a retreat for dosa and attachment instead of metta.
Dosa, it's just doing it to someone I attach.
Yeah.
I can see attachment, and I know it's not true metta. Mm. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to recognize it. Mm. So it's good because. Mm. Because now I understand attachment better.
But that was thanks to studying Abhidhamma or listening to...
I was doing metta retreat.
Metta is calm, right?
Yes.
At that moment, if there is no panya, can one see whether it's calm or attachment?
No, cannot.
And so one thinks that one is thinking about metta, but what about calmness? So samatha bhavana is the development of calmness.
Yeah, there was calmness.
Without understanding, one can take lopa for calm.
Subtle attachment.
Yes.
For calm.
Actually, I cannot say I can recognize the subtle attachment, but the calmness, the tranquility, the mind can recognize it. So attachment to the experience itself versus attachment to the person of the object of matter. Sometimes I can, the mind can tell or the panya can see, sometimes it cannot. But I was saying that through this exercise I can see the attachment towards the object versus true matter. The matter I see is arising externally to this nama rupa, I can see when he arises in daily life, not in retreat.
Think about it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Do you think you can see others' metta, but actually seeing can only see visible object and can only think about it and think, oh, this is metta, this is not, but actually it's just an idea.
It's a perception. Yeah, so I was there, Sanya. It's just a perception.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, impossible to know.
Impossible?
Like at this moment, we can say Ajahn Suchin has metta. How do we know at this moment? Impossible. Just all that's seen is visible object and thinking, she's so patient, she must have, who knows? No. She may have dosa at this moment. We don't know.
I agree. Sometimes I would say from the gesture of a kind word, a kind offering, the mind will assume, oh, he's kind, this is metta from him. Of course, this is a projection in perceiving Sanya, just thinking, right? I agree. We are never sure.
We don't know our own cheetahs, let alone another's.
I agree. But the mind still is perceived that way.
We're talking about knowing the difference between metta and attachment, and then you said there's also seeing one as calm. Metta is calm and attachment is not. And we know that metta is also accompanied by alopa. So I was wondering whether one can recognize metta or know the difference by way of detachment.
I think that is so strange, because if one understands that metta has to do with people, right? Beings. Mm-hmm. And we sit and try to have metta by thinking about whatever name, no appearing of people and things at all, and think that we have metta while one thinking about those people. But what about the nature of metta? That one is friendly to anybody or creature, like dog, cats, birds, so on. When it appears, this is a proof whether there is more metta or less, or still have lots of attachment and aversion. But try to have metta when they do not appear at that moment at all. Mm-hmm. Is that the development of metta? Because you see that the development of samatha and vipassana. Samatha means develop kusala citta, which will condition calmness until the upajara samadhi or another level of samadhi appear. So it indicates that it's developed because citta at that moment is wholesome. But while one think about something, can there be right understanding with it? That is thinking with metta or thinking with lopa, attached to metta. See? So metta in daily life is the most important thing.
Yes.
That you know that now, from learning about wholesomeness and unwholesomeness, it conditioned to see the danger of having dosa and lack of metta. So there can be moments of metta, better and better, no matter on the street, when the car is so very not as you like, see? But at that moment, you think you have metta. Mm-hmm. That taxi might have something urgent to do or to go so quickly or fast, or something like that. Instead of sitting in the dark room or at the corner and thinking about having metta to this or to that person. Mm-hmm. Because all objects of calm, samatha bhavana, must condition moment of kusala and panya, which understands the difference between kusala and akusala, will condition more kusala until the calmness appear with concentration or with other jetasikas. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think that metta in daily life, anywhere, anytime, is more important than just try to have it by thinking with attachment or clinging to it or what.
Okay, so this comes back to the Visuddhimagga techniques we talked about yesterday, because metta was one of the things you mentioned there. Right?
Excuse me, do you know that now it depends on kusala citta or akusala citta? Otherwise, it's not the development of samatha or calmness at all. So Panya has to know the difference at that moment. Otherwise, the calmness cannot develop at all. So it depends on Panya to develop calmness, to know the difference of citta, which is kusala and akusala. Like now, if there is no Panya, who can tell whether there is a kusala citta after seeing, thinking, and right development? With Panya, always Panya.
So for samatha practice, right? For samatha practice, so the Panya determines this, I mean, that's the precondition for the kusala to arise, to cultivate that calmness, that's what you're saying, right?
Okay, let's say, who will develop calmness? Only who see the danger of akusala. If one does not see the danger of akusala attached to visible object and things, and having dosa at any moment of seeing and experiencing object, can that person
cannot
see?
Right.
So it needs panya.
So the person who understands the benefit of kusala.
But if anyone want to have, is it panya or attachment?
No.
See.
So with attachment, he actually cannot cultivate the
kusala.
Samatha. He cannot, right? He couldn't. Okay. Also, but with attachment, say if someone is doing the samatha practice,
can it be samatha practice with attachment?
Even there is no samatha bhavana, but when one study about realities and see the danger of akusala, it can condition metta.
Yes,
no need
yes.
to sit and recite what you used to do.
Okay.
Because the point is, if you talk about samatha practice, let's say we talk about samatha bhavana, you said if there is samatha practice, samatha bhavana with attachment,
it
impossible.
I know, it cannot.
Yeah. But when people would like to do, is it right understanding or attachment?
Some with attachment.
So it's not
right.
Kusala. So kusala does not depend on the object, but it depends on right understanding.
Right.
Jessica said that at the retreat.
At the retreat?
Yes.
Why? Why retreat?
Well, you don't have to ask her, but she said at the retreat. She noticed a change in the people's behavior.
And what, after the retreat?
After the retreat, I don't know.
Is Panya limited?
Yes.
Only at that place?
I think, you know, our understanding is metta arises and passes away. You know, it's conditioned. So afterward, I'm sure it's just like everything else.
Accumulation.
Right.
Because it makes sense that there can be more metta at a retreat and less metta in normal daily life.
No. Okay. So your question is more metta in the retreat versus more metta in the daily
less.
Life.
Does it make sense that there is more metta at a retreat and less metta in daily life?
I would think the thoughts, for example, the kind of retreat we did, is the thinking about metta is more intense in the retreat. But that doesn't mean, you know, the in daily life there's less thoughts about it, but I think the net accumulation determines that person's behavior.
Right. So if it's a matter of accumulations, and would it actually be the behavior, we noticed a change in the behavior during the retreat, the question is whether it's metta or not, or just a change in behavior because people are trying to have metta. So obviously they act in a different way towards each other. They do, as Scott would say, Buddhist-y things
The behavior does result, but through attachment. But in my experience, it's not trying to behave in that way. It does come about, but now I recognize that it's through attachment to the pleasant feeling involved in those mind states. The behavior does change for a certain amount of time, but through attachment.
Jessica, you were saying earlier,
what happens at a retreat is more thinking about metta.
Right.
But the question is whether it is thinking with metta.
Judging from their report, they're saying they have calmness, joy, things like that, right? So I assume they reach certain amount of calmness and concentration, purity of mind. But result is only my thoughts, right? It's just thoughts. It doesn't result into behavior and speech yet. So if you're asking what effect it takes, you know, it has to be after the retreat. After the retreat, people feel happy and that. But what actually happened, I don't know.
What I've seen many times is people who start doing this become so attached that they enjoy that time because it's quiet and no problems and no confrontation and people, it's a community. And they want to go back again. I've seen people, you know, for longer and longer and more because that time is so quiet and simple. But in some ways they
plus
are just
the idea that I am developing metta.
Big time. I am, and telling my friends I am doing metta development, but in the way I call it kicking the can down the road. In some ways you're really not gaining anything, and you're in fact resenting those times when you need the metta the most, maybe. So I'm not sure they're not in the long run developing more lobha than less in the long run. Who knows? Only they know.
Right. But in the retreat we have, it's not pleasant. So people share crowd dormitory living, sitting long hours, 1 hour, 2 hours for Hong Kong people, lots of pain, and not enough space for them to walk. So it's not the pleasant.
But it's a special time. It may not be
yes,
physically pleasant,
yeah.
But the difference of daily life and that, again, makes you feel, oh, I am doing something. This is special. No pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these things which aren't real. And then they go back to Hong Kong and I like the simple life. But even though it's maybe not so soft, but the clinging and is...
I think that is the perfect way for people to find out that attachment brings suffering. If they eventually find out, it's attached to this pleasantness.